normally starts at 9 o'clock, a little bit later when there's NBA basketball on the airwaves. He is one half of the duo of Freddie and Fitzsimmons joining us now, Freddie Coleman. Freddie, how's it going?
I'm good, Magic Matt. How are you today, my brother?
I am doing fantastic. Always love when you are on the air with us here in Richmond. I'm just going to give you two words and let you go. Odyssey Alexander.
Oh, my goodness. I tell people all the time, if you have not been paying attention to the Women's College World Series in softball, where have you been all these years? Because we've seen stories like this constantly, and it shows exactly, Matt, how much we miss college baseball and college softball when it comes to the World Series. When you have great stories like Odyssey Alexander and the great run that James Madison had being an unseeded team, and then they go 2-0, taking down Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in the first two games of the College World Series. And even though they did not make it to the championship round, you got Florida State playing Oklahoma. Nobody could even think for one second that G and James Madison were not the story of the College World Series. And we can all rally around that, what she was able to do on the mound and also her great demeanor and great presence off the mound.
And it's rare that you see a standing ovation from the opposition when you leave the mound.
It's funny you mention that, because my wife Denise and I, Matt, were watching that yesterday. And that's the one thing that jumped out to me, that the Oklahoma fans, because normally it would be like that kind of golf clap kind of acceptance or applause. They were standing full clap, full throat, yelling Odyssey in the stands. And even she had the great acknowledgement, because that was a tough moment for her, to having such a great run to end that way. But it shows the appreciation that fans are going to have, that no matter who you're playing for, if you carry yourself the way that James Madison softball and Odyssey Alexander, representing herself and James Madison softball, carries themselves, you're going to get that appreciation from anybody that has two eyes and a brain. And we saw that clearly from the Sooners fans yesterday, even though their team was winning and it was a tough moment for her.
Yeah, certainly a tough moment for her. Tough moment for the NBA, Freddie. I feel like we don't even need to play the rest of the playoffs. It's Brooklyn's to lose if no one gets hurt.
Man, I wish you would get out of my head from that standpoint, because I was thinking that last night. And we all know this, Matt, that anytime a team wins a game in a series to make it 2-1 or to make it 2-2 or even 1-1, then the series can change. But you look at this Milwaukee Bucks team, and I thought for the longest time that they were not going to beat the Brooklyn Nets, but they would really make them work for it. Well, we really have not seen that, especially in game two. I know the Nets won by 39 points, but that game wasn't even that close. It seemed as if the Bucks looked at themselves and said, well, can't beat them tonight. Let's try harder in game three. It seems that they completely gave it up and just moved on to game three mentally as well as physically. But if they're able to do this, and people talk about James Harden being the most important player for the Brooklyn Nets, and I rallied against that. I said, they have a cheat code called Kevin Durant. If he's as right as rain, it's going to be very tough to beat that basketball team, no matter who else is out there. That's the one guy that they can ill afford to lose. You can lose a Kyrie Irving, it's going to hurt. You can lose a James Harden, it's going to hurt. But you lose a Kevin Durant, you have no chance of winning the championship, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. He is that one guy that does not need a lot of shots to score a lot of points. He is that maybe the most efficient basketball shooter that we've seen in the last 25 years in the NBA, because he can get a shot against anybody, and he's a pretty underrated defender as well.
Is it bad for the NBA if they win the championship, considering the Big Three essentially played 8 games together?
No, it's not, and here's why. Because superstars are going to carry the freight. It's not as if a bunch of G League players are able to play above their heads in the absence of, let's say, if Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden were not there. Then you could say that's maybe bad for the NBA, that organization did not have a superstar, superstars leading the way. Stars are always going to matter, and superstars are going to matter, because you know they're going to get the basketball. You're trying to keep them from busting you in the face, but you're not able to do it. So it's not bad for the NBA that you have a Brooklyn Nets team like this, a second team in that New York City area, winning a championship, because those guys genuinely love playing together. So I don't look at it as bad for the NBA. If anything, it's going to create more incentive, because if you're in the Eastern Conference, you got to deal with these guys for another 3 to 4 years. If you're in the Western Conference, then you really got to marshal your forces together, whether you're Phoenix, whether you're Utah, whether you're the Lakers, whether you're the Clippers. If you have that team as the team that everybody is chasing, but it's not completely unbeatable, that's only going to make your league better. It's only going to make the competition even better, whether you're in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference.
So I'm a Sixers guy, Freddie, and I came to the comparison last night. Other than occasionally shooting a jump shot, which Ben Simmons won't, Giannis is just a thicker Ben Simmons. What do you think of that comparison?
Boy, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that because Giannis has the ability to make threes, and that's something that he has the stroke to do that, and he's willing to take three-point shots. I just think he's a lot better maybe not trying to dribble into the three, maybe more of a catch-and-shoot situation. That's something that he can work on. You're completely right about Ben Simmons because you would think with his kind of ability to be a playmaker, a taller, faster version of Magic Johnson, if you add even a 15-foot shot to your game, you really become an unguardable player because now you have the size to shoot over people. If the ball handling ability, get that front shoulder past any defender, get to the rim and find open people on the outside to find people cutting to the basket. So I don't know why Ben Simmons is not working on that. At least Giannis has worked on it. He's just not a good outside shooter. He's not a good three-point shooter. You can't be terrific at everything. But if he gets to even 33-34%, that's going to make him a better player when it comes to Giannis. Ben Simmons right now, by being unafraid in terms of going to the basket, or being afraid to take that shot and they're going to give it to you, it's going to reduce how effective that he is. And when you reduce his effectiveness, then it puts more pressure on your three-point snipers, whether it's Seth Curry, or puts even more pressure on Joel Embiid to make up for the fact that he's a great playmaker. But you're playing 4-on-5 at times in the offensive end because teams are going to back down and dare him to shoot. And you can't continually force your way to the basket and think that's going to work, especially in playoff basketball.
When you come on the air tonight, is it going to be 2-0 Hawks or is it going to be 1-1?
I think it's going to be 1-1 Philadelphia because I think they're going to put Ben Simmons on Trae Young just a little bit more. But Trae Young seems to be the kind of guy, you throw a wall in front of him, he finds a way to scale that wall and make plays. I think they're going to be able to find a way not to get off to the slow start that happened because we blinked our eyes, Matt, and it was a 29-point deficit for the Philadelphia 76ers. And then all of a sudden became the Three Stooges with the Atlanta Hawks trying to handle a basketball, not handle a basketball down the stretch before they're able to survive and hold on to game one. I think the Sixers make it a series by winning game two, but I will tell you this. If the Sixers don't win tonight, then this series is going to be over in five because I don't trust that the Philadelphia 76ers have enough that they're down 2-0 after losing their first two games at home and have to deal with that pressure from the fans and the media that there'll be enough mental fortitude that they have to find a way to turn that 2-0 deficit around and win the series.
Make sure to listen to Freddie Coleman tonight after the Atlanta Braves game. Follow him on Twitter at ColemanESPN. Boy, the Suns are a lot of fun, and it's great to see that atmosphere in Phoenix. How important, and would you say that Chris Paul was the best acquisition of any team in the NBA this offseason?
Not just for what he's done on the basketball court, but it's nice to hear Monty Williams that somebody who you played against has a coaching philosophy that he can bring to the floor, and everybody's going to pay attention to that. And you're exactly right about Phoenix. They were able to gather a lot of confidence in the bubble last year, even though they did not make the playoffs. So now you add a Chris Paul to that team, and look how everybody's game has been able to extend itself. We knew that Devin Booker was a star on the rise, so he's a potential superstar right now. But DeAndre Ayton, he's gotten better. Mikal Bridges, he's gotten better. Everybody just feels better knowing that at any given time, they can look over at Chris Paul, he's going to say the right thing and know exactly when to say that. So look at last night. Denver's playing them head up, and believe me, in this series, Matt, it's going to be defense optional. There's not going to be a lot of defense play between the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns. But also in the Denver Nuggets, had an 8-9 point lead in the third quarter. Then you blink your eyes and Phoenix goes on a 25-7 run. And then they ran away and hit in the fourth quarter. They were able to gather so much confidence from playing that series against the Lakers because many people did not believe that they were going to beat the Lakers. Then Anthony Davis gets injured. Many people believe that LeBron James is going to be enough to carry them, and it did not happen. They were able to shut up a lot of naysayers and gain so much confidence that any kind of deficit against a team not named Los Angeles is not going to bother the Phoenix Suns, especially when you have a coach in Monty Williams who's really good at dialing up plays, and a coach on the floor and Chris Paul making sure those plays are carried out efficiently.
Jumping around a bunch of topics with our friend Freddie Coleman, the best on ESPN Radio. NHL has a great Stanley Cup so far. The playoffs have been fantastic. A ton of overtimes, a ton of great matchups. But I feel like no one really cares, Freddie. What can they do to get more eyeballs?
I've been asking that question, Matt, it seems like for decades, seriously, because I'm a hockey nut. I grew up in New York City, and I was a Rangers fan, and then the Islanders came along, and we all hated the Philadelphia Flyers, and then you had the New Jersey Devils, what they were able to do in the 90s into the 2000s. They have the best playoff run, in my opinion, of anybody else, and that includes football, that includes basketball, that includes baseball, because when you have a hockey puck that can do so many different things no matter what you try to do with it, it can just create a serious advantage or disadvantage. I don't think there's anything that the NHL can do because they've done a really good job promoting their sport. But I wonder if the perception with the NHL is that it's just a regional sport, that you only care about the NHL if your team is doing well. And they have plenty of terrific stories. Brad Marchand would be the perfect sports villain, the guy who plays for the Boston Bruins, where he could be kind of a face of your sport that you want to see him play He's going to get on the last nerve of a team that you like that you can't stand him. But if he's on your team, he is instantly watchable because he's a clutch player when he's on the ice, especially in a playoff situation. So I don't know what more the NHL can do, because more than ever before, when so many people can find different things to occupy their time and they look at you from a perception standpoint, that you're just a regional sport, then that hurts your league. So whatever they have to do, they have to really just ad nauseum put their sport out there time and time again to get people to pay attention. It's a shame that the Paul brothers in boxing are known more in sports than the top players in the National Hockey League, and those guys do a lot more for their sport than the Paul brothers are doing for boxing.
We've seen some stories today come out about the college football playoff that they could go from to potentially a 12-team model. We've been dying for 8. What do you think about a 12-team playoff?
That's their greedy hands wanting to get that money back, Matt, that they didn't have last year when they lost so much revenue because of the pandemic. And a lot of places, for example, the Big Ten did not have any fans in the stands, and they make a lot of money. They make a lot of revenue off people going to the games and tailgating and buying those tickets and so on and so forth. So I'm not surprised that we're hearing this, that's going to happen sooner than later. Money is going to be the ultimate arbiter in this situation, especially when it comes to college football, because so many athletic departments rely on the money that college football is going to provide. Those billions and billions of dollars that were not there, that were not available from a revenue streaming standpoint, they're going to do everything they can to make that back. So the best way to do that is, if you have more teams in the playoff, that means more money for the conferences. That means more eyeballs watching on TV. That means more people traveling to the games. I still wonder how they're going to work that out, because you can't just have neutral sites for every game in the college football playoff. So you're going to have what we see in FCS, where you have to have a home playoff game at the higher seeded team. You're going to have to make that work from that standpoint, which will be another conversation, because, you know, plenty of college coaches don't want that to happen. But you can't have it both ways. If you want a 12-team playoff to recoup that money that you think you're going to do because of what happened last year, then you're going to have to make those kind of concessions to say, we can have neutral sites for the semifinals and the final, but the first round games, we got to have those as on-campus sites, because there's still going to be money to be made, because people are going to be in the buildings if you're going to go to a 12-team playoff, which in my opinion is going to happen a lot sooner than later.
Freddie and Fitzsimmons, 9 o'clock on ESPN Radio. Follow him on Twitter, at ColemanESPN. I'm fascinated to get your opinion on the Naomi Osaka story with regards to the press conferences and the backlash of her not talking necessarily. As a member of the sports media, Freddie, what do you think the players' obligation necessarily is to the media before, after, or during games?
I'm a big believer, Matt, that if somebody is uncomfortable doing that, that you can't force them to talk. And remember the whole Marshawn Lynch situation where they tried to do that and he went about it a different way. He showed up at the media obligation. He said, I'm just here so I won't get fined. And that became a colossal statement that a lot of people were able to use on Twitter and other forms of social media. If Naomi Osaka is having this kind of mental health issue regarding talking to the media, then we have to really be more cognizant and more sensitive to her. It just can't be about, well, you should do it or else. It can't be that way in the 21st century, because if she's struggling with this and it's affecting her mental health, we got to think more about Naomi Osaka, the person, more than Naomi Osaka, the athlete, when it comes to her media obligations according to her sport. And that is something that the WTA and the USTA are going to have to really think about. When it comes to Naomi Osaka, when she's playing major events or even non-major events, that she's going to be a part of that. So I guess I'm not surprised about the blowback that people are giving her. But my answer to that is, if you don't want to do something, if something makes you uncomfortable and you don't want people telling you how to do that, then you have no right to tell Naomi Osaka that she should do the same thing, especially if she's obligated to talk to the media. If she's struggling with that, then she's not doing anybody any favors by doing something she doesn't want to do. And whatever you think you're going to get out of her in that press room situation, it's not going to be conducive to a good thing for her, and definitely not conducive to a good thing for anybody that's participating in that.
All right, last question for you, non-sports here. It's the anniversary of the release of 3 very, very good movies. Gremlins, Trading Places, and Ghostbusters. Uh-huh. Best movie of the 3?
Oh, Trading Places, and that's because I'm a biased person. When you got Eddie Murphy on one side, Dan Aykroyd on the other side, you got all those famous lines in the movie. I think my favorite line was when you have Beaks at the phone booth and a woman's going to wait for the phone. He goes, hey, bleep off. And she just shrugs her shoulders and walks away. You give me Trading Places. And there's no disrespect to Gremlins or Ghostbusters, but there's so many great lines in Trading Places. Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis. You give me that movie over those two, and I'll like my chances.
9 o'clock on ESPN Radio. Of course, we'll have it on after the Braves game tonight. Freddie, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, my brother. Let's do it again soon, and you take care and be well.